Sorbitol 500 milligrams, atropine 60 milligrams, 1 hour prior to procedure. Anesthesia, lidocaine, 1 to 1,000, epinephrine locally. Estimated blood loss, 250 cc's. Fluid replacement, 200 cc's, D5W. Operative duration, 1 hour, 12 minutes. Post-op condition, good. As he finished the note, he heard Ross say to the nurse, "Start him on phenobarb as soon as he's awake." She sounded angry. Morris looked up at her. She was frowning, her face tight. "Something the matter, Jan?" "No," she said. "Of course not." "Well, if there's anything you want to..."
"Just make sure he gets his phenobarb. We want to keep him sedated until we can interface him."
And she stormed out of the room. Morris watched her go, then glanced over at Ellis, who was still dictating, but had been watching. Ellis shrugged. Morris adjusted the monitoring equipment on the shelf above Benson's head. He turned it on and waited until it warmed up. Then he placed the temporary induction unit around Benson's taped shoulder. During the operation, all the wires had been hooked up, but they were not working yet. First, Benson would have to be interfaced. This meant determining which of the 40 electrodes would stop his seizures and locking in the appropriate switches on the subdermal computer. Because the computer was under the skin, the locking in would be accomplished by an induction unit, which worked through the skin. But the interfacing couldn't be done until tomorrow. Meanwhile, the equipment monitored Benson's brainwave activity. The screens above the bed glowed a bright green and showed the white tracing of his EEG. The pattern was normal for alpha rhythms slowing from sedation. Benson opened his eyes and looked at Morris.
"How do you feel?"
he asked.
"Sleepy," he said. "Is it beginning soon?"
"It's over," Morris said. Benson nodded, not at all surprised, and closed his eyes. A rad lab technician came in and checked for leakage from the plutonium with a Geiger counter. There was none. Morris slipped the dog tag around Benson's neck. The nurse picked it up curiously, read it, and frowned. Ellis came over.
"Time for breakfast?"
"Yes," Morris said. "Time for breakfast." They left the room together. Chapter 3. The trouble was, he didn't really like the sound of his voice. His voice was rough and grating, and his enunciation was poor. McPherson preferred to see the words in his mind as if they had been written. He pressed the microphone button on the dictation machine.
"Roman numeral 3, philosophical implications."
Roman numeral 3, philosophical implications. He paused and looked around his office. The large model of the brain sat at the corner of his desk, shelves of journals along one wall, and the TV monitor. On the screen now, he was watching the playback of the morning's operation. The sound was turned off, the milky images silent. Ellis was drilling holes in Benson's head. McPherson watched and began to dictate.